Can I get a clap? Thank you very much. Okay, let's kick this bastard off.
Okay, then.
Hello, ladies.
Like a plan. Oh, sorry.
I was about to kick it. Hang on a second. Probably need to dial my thing down a bit. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And I am too loud, and I have to dial it down again. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, and football watchers alike. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And back for this podcast, it's Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
I bloody tried to introduce you the other day when I was doing the Luke Cage special. I was about to go, and with me is not Nigel.
I'm happy with you calling me not Nigel.
Well, it's going to be a short one this week because we've been watching the football, and it's been good for us, and hopefully we'll continue to be good. So we haven't been doing much geek stuff, so we've only got a few things we want to talk about. We're going to talk about Jurassic World, because Nigel's come and seen Jurassic World. The Expanse, because I've seen the last two episodes of The Expanse, and it was fucking brilliant. And then we're going to have a chat about Google Streaming Console and John Kasdan wanting to write, or supposedly being tipped to write, the new Indiana Jones. So, let's kick this off with Jurassic World Lost Fallen Kingdom. I was going to say Jurassic World Lost Park.
The Lost Park.
Fucking makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way. Now, I think Keith has quite possibly already talked about this, but I went to see it today with the kids. I managed to persuade the kids that Jurassic World would be a better one to watch rather than watching Solo. They are Star Wars mad, but... I'm not into it at the moment. Still a bit peed off about the previous film. But anyway, let's move on to Jurassic World. It was alright.
that's your standard response for everything, isn't it?
Yeah, next.
Alright, and next, let's talk about the penalty shootout between Russia and Croatia. I thought Croatia were going to win it all along. They just looked a bit more, but the Russians did wake up towards the end. It was quite scary. And oh, hang on a second, we talk about geek stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about the Russians.
So go back to what do you call it?
Vladimir Putin will be stalking your Instagram and Twitter again, mate. Like he did before. Anyway, so Jurassic World. Yeah, I will talk about it. Okay, right. I enjoyed the film. Few bits are a little bit they fucking put in movies to build tension where people wouldn't normally behave like that, or an item wouldn't normally behave like that, just to get someone in a situation which they wouldn't have been in. For example, the lift. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. Tanith wants to watch it, but I
okay,
everything
at no point,
yeah, go on,
in the history of making lifts, when someone's in a lift and they push a button to go down, if you were to hit or damage the call button on the landing, would the lift suddenly go, a few seconds after the lift has started moving, would the lift then go, oh, because it sparks, it's broken, it wouldn't then open the fucking doors again?
No, the doors would stay locked. It's fail safe. If it fails safe.
Yeah, it's a fail safe. So when it fails, it's safe, basically. And he pushed the code in, and the lift would immediately start to move. It was a good 4 or 5 seconds later. By then, they'd already be working on the next floor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a tail from a dino hits the call button on the outside, and it sparks and breaks, and the lift suddenly opens up, and the super dino fucking kills everyone. And I was like, I couldn't help myself. I just looked at it and I go, ugh, fucking, I worked in a lift company for many years, and I know for a fact that's fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
That's shit I know. When they do shit like that, it winds you up. Anyway, yeah, anyway. Other than that, Mr. Creepy Face, with the polo neck, and he's trying to be the eyes on, not eye zombie, the eye dinosaur, man, isn't he? The
oh,
creator
you're
of.
talking about Benedict Wong, is it not? Not Benedict. Sorry, BD Wong, not Benedict Wong, who comes across as creepy in real life.
Does he?
He does. If you've seen interviews with him, he genuinely gives off an air of, it's like it's an evil campness to him.
Yes.
He's like that in real life. In the interviews you have him with it, it's like kind of, he's not acting, he's just saying lines.
He's just saying lines, yeah. That's him. That's it. He's going to be typecast now. But, yeah, he was in there. Not surprisingly, because he got away at the end of the last film. I like the fact they went back to the set of the first film. And you saw everything wrecked and ruined and shit growing and fucking dinosaurs roaming about, free will and all that sort of stuff. I thought there was going to be more of the film on the island.
Yeah.
I really did. I think I would have liked it a little bit more if they were on the island, just that little bit extra time.
Yeah.
But most of the film is over in... Well, it felt like most of the film was over in wherever the boss's house is in Country Park. I think they said North Carolina. No. California. North California.
Oh, it has to be California.
Yeah. North California. Massive mansion. Fucking massive mansion. And even one of the characters, he made a quip going... it must be a big house. Where are they going to put all these lorries? Because they're transporting everything that they could get. All the dinos that they could get from this volcanic island that is erupting and going to destroy everything and blah, blah, blah. And bring them back. They were duped into going to take these dinos, try and save as many as they can and put them onto another island that they said they got. Turns out they fucking lied, obviously. And they were taking them back to the mansion to auction them off.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously the Russians are there. Coincidentally, you're talking about Russian shootout, you know. They won the auction for the super dino that they made.
Okay.
Because they genetically made another dino. If you remember, they made a super dino in the first one.
Yeah.
They crossbred it, and I can't remember what they crossbred it with. Was it a raptor and a
raptor,
T-Rex,
cuttlefish, something else, an octopus? Yeah. I'll say octopus.
A fucking octopus, yeah. And a mouse, just because.
Just because, well, 'cause we felt like it.
Yeah, it was there.
We used cheese to control it. It was like we put little traps out with cheese. So it's like if it steps out of line, big block of EDAM, stick up this giant mouse trap, bosh, we got the dinosaur back.
Got ya.
So it's easy. Yeah. I would have solved the Jurassic World problem in minutes. Just put mouse DNA in there. We'll control it via cheese.
and that's what they've done. And then, yeah, and this one, they're saying that they can control him. And they can control him... not in a similar fashion to how Chris Pratt's character, whatever his fucking character's name is, could control Blue, the raptor. Because he had this affinity with the other raptor. And they actually do explore a little bit about his affinity with this raptor, with Blue. From a little chicklin or whatever they call him as a baby. How he, when he showed he was in trouble, like, so it actually showed a video of him training these raptors and testing their emotional state and how they go. So the raptors, before, they show him he goes into like a scared state, like hands over the head, kneeling down, going ooh, ooh, pretending to cry and shit. And the other raptors that he'd do that to would attack him and jump on his arm, because his arm's the closest thing to him, and he's got like a leather strap on him and stuff on his arm to stop any bites. He did it to Blue, the raptor called Blue, and he showed compassion, and he walked over like a dog would, and like sniffed near his head, and like made purring sounds and whatnot, whatever, you know. But it showed that backstory to him that you didn't see in the first film.
Okay.
I like the way they referenced that, and they showed he was saying how it wasn't the first raptor and all that sort of stuff.
Just to point something out, in the first film, Blue would have... Another incident where the guy falls into the cage.
Yeah.
Blue and the others were going to tear him apart anyway, so that doesn't make any sense. What if they retconned that? That doesn't, like, kind of... Yeah, and Blue turned on him the moment the other fucking dinosaur turned up. Do you remember that?
Trying to remember.
The Indoraptor turns up and they go, oh, what else did you do it with? And then it starts making raptor noises and they go, ah, shit. Because they sent the raptors out after it, and they had to then kill off the raptors. And Blue only turns up at the end, but before then, betrayed them and fucked off.
Oh yeah, he fucked off, didn't he?
Yeah. And then fucks off a second time. It makes no fucking sense. Plus, at the same time, imagine a theme park was still running. And they built it on a fucking volcanic island with the chance of it going off. You think that they would have gone, hang on a second, this may be a bad idea. Yeah. I can name many volcanoes that have erupted. None of them have been owned by Disney.
None of them have been on a volcano. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't remember them ever saying in the first film. I can't remember, to be fair, if they ever mentioned that it was built on a volcanic island, just that it was an island with loads of hills and, you know, making it look all dinosaur-y, like back in the Cretaceous period and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, I think in order to move a plot along, what they've done is they've gone and said, yeah, volcanic island, and it's going to erupt, so we need to do something about the dinosaurs. And there's people in the street, you know, protesting for dinosaur rights to keep them alive.
Fucking hell.
And
they're not, they're not technically not even dinosaurs. They're mutants. No,
they're mutants because they've been bred. And people are saying, yeah, but they're animals, they're no longer extinct, they were extinct, but they're not anymore, so we should do what we can to save them. And coincidentally, the only people who seem to have a say in the matter is Congress in the US. No other countries have a say in it, apparently.
Not even a Puerto Rican government. I think was it Puerto Rico that owned the island?
It was off, what was it? Off the coast of Chile? Puerto Rico or Costa Rica or something.
Somewhere. Some country that wasn't the United States of America.
Yeah. But it's not them who have a say in it. It's the United States. And they've got Goldblum in it.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff. Good old Jeff. My name's Jeff. I don't know where's that come from? Anyway, he was in it, talking to Congress, and they're asking his opinion on what they should do, and he's giving this fucking speech about all this and that, and he ends up just going, I just think it should be natural selection and let them burn with the lava.
If they can find their own way off the island, if they all of a sudden grow wings and they can fly from the island to the mainland, then let it be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just fucking let them be.
Yeah. That's what his argument was, basically.
And I hate to say it was the right fucking argument. How long was he in it? Yeah. Because they were fucking advertising the fact that Jeff Goldblum was in this film, like, to ridiculous amounts.
Were they?
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's done this in his film. And it's like, kind of, he's only one fucking scene, isn't he? Because I haven't seen him outside that fucking courtroom.
He's not outside that courtroom. He's not.
So he doesn't go to the island with them?
No, he sort of... they show him near the start of the film doing his little Congress speech thing. They've got him in as an expert and whatnot. I don't know if they're trying to tie it into the original Jurassic Park films because of that. I don't know. I can't remember if Jurassic World is actually meant to take part after the Jurassic Park films.
I think it's supposed to.
Because if it is, then they've used, you know, that's what they've used him for. And, yeah, he's right, though. They should have just let it fucking be. Just let the shit happen. It all went to shit because they've decided they needed to get the facilitator. You remember the woman facilitator who was running the park in the first film?
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard's character.
They needed her. They sort of hoodwinked her because she's one of the people who were going, dinosaur rights, yeah, dinosaur rights. You know, she's leading the charge. She takes a couple of her mates from the dinosaur charge unit out with her. One's a computer whiz, apparently, and the other one knows a bit about veterinarian. So, yeah, and Chris Pratt goes with him, obviously. Mr. Raptor King. And he's... the only reason why they've been asked to go out is because she can power on the tracking system that is in a communications tower just outside the main complex.
Yeah.
They just need her handprint. That's what they needed.
Really? They could have just broken down the door with some thermite. Ah, that's easy.
No, it was... They needed her... They could get into the communications tower. But after that, they needed her handprint to then turn on the scanners and everything so they could turn on the tracking system for each dinosaur. Because each dinosaur, when they bred them, they put a tracking chip in. And the tracking chip, they actually address the fact that wouldn't the tracking chips be out of power by now? And they said, well, actually, it's... The dinosaur is the battery because the movement of the dinosaur is charging the battery that they've got for the tracking chip. Yeah, and we know there are watches with kinetic batteries, isn't there? So, yeah, understandable, plausible.
Okay, there's one thing in it that I found in the marketing which I found a little egregious.
Mm-hmm.
And it was them saying Stiggy Moloch mm-hmm. rather than Stiggy Moloch.
It's Stiggy Moloch.
Hang on a second. Let's ask Google. This is so exciting.
Live.
What's a Stiggy Moloch?
According to Wikipedia, Stiggy Moloch is a dubious genus of Pachycephalosaurid dinosaur.
See?
From the...
All right, we got the idea. Yeah, shut it, love. 66 million years ago. Yeah, okay, all right. So, there's an example of... It's Stiggy Moloch, not Stiggy Moloch. I got really annoyed over that. It's just... That's why I didn't get
to
see it.
They don't... In this film, they do not mention Stiggy Moloch.
They don't mention Stiggy Moloch. Oh,
however,
good.
However...
Yeah.
Near the end of the film, where they're packing all their shit away, Mr. Wu, or whatever his name is. I've forgotten his name. You know his name.
Dinosaur. Yes.
He and his cronies are packing away all the DNA samples and all their work and all that sort of stuff. And as they're closing a briefcase, they've labelled up the DNA samples and stuff, and one of them was Stiggy Moloch. I was in the cinema, I almost went, I know this one.
Have you got Trudon there? No, you haven't got Trudon.
No, I didn't. It's the only one, it's in the middle, so that's why it stood out. I didn't. It's literally about a second. Oh, it's open for about a second. You go, oh, it's Stiggy Moloch, and it's closed. So you don't really get to see what other ones they've sort of, you know, taken. But yeah, I think most of the action happens at the house.
Yeah,
and it centres around the little girl, the granddaughter of the owner of the company. I think he's John Hammond's partner.
Yeah.
Or whatever. He's on his deathbed. It's obvious what will happen with him and his people who work for him, and whatnot. Although there is a nice little twist with the daughter, because she was always told that her mother had died. And so that he's her guardian. However, the bloke who is running the operations for the grandfather lets it go that actually she's a clone herself.
Ah.
He said, you forget what line of work he's in. She never had a daughter. So he cloned his daughter and grew her. So she's effectively not real.
Now,
just before he's promptly taken out and whatever. But
okay, I've been told that at the end of the film she releases all the dinosaurs. She says, I'm a clone, you're a clone too, so freedom. Yeah. Which is a bit dumb, because you've just released a load of dinosaurs that are probably going to get shot by the fucking locals. It's America, for crying out loud. Everyone's got a gun. Even in California, right? So you're just going to have people who are going to turn up from all over the country to hunt dinosaurs and kill them.
Dinosaur hunting.
Yeah, that's what you've done. You've now... dinosaur poaching, shall we say, just to make it... because I'll probably put some lore in it, but they get wiped out. Dumbass. So,
yeah, the only way this worked out is because they're all in cages in this area, right? And she's saying, I can't vent the system. The ventilation system has been damaged. Somehow, something's damaged it. There's no fucking fires or anything. You know, something's damaged the ventilation system, probably a control panel or whatever, but I can't vent it, so I can't get rid of the dangerous gas that is flooding the area.
Do you know what would be funny? Is if they showed the vent and there's a big heap of dinosaur shit blocking it. Because you would have gone, oh, okay. Now I know why it's fucking blocked.
Oh, that will block it.
Sorry.
And so she starts going and opening all the cages to let him out into the main area. It's not a big area. There were all the dinosaurs, including T-Rex and another couple of predators and whatnot, around the size of T-Rex, into this area. And then she's hovering her hand over, not the daughter clone, but the ex-facilitator woman, is hovering her hand over the open door button, open says me button, for the main doors to let them out. And I was sat there and went, why didn't she just keep all those cages locked and just open the fucking main door and let the air flow in through natural causes?
Yeah.
You know? It's a fucking huge door. A lot of air will come in. But no, she opened all the things up, and then Chris Pratt's character talked to her out of it and goes, do you understand what will happen here if you let these out? He went through that whole thing, and she went, yeah, do you know what? I think you're right. And it's the same, it's akin to, do they stay on the island? Do you take them off?
Yeah.
Do you stay or go? Leave them to die by natural causes, or in, and she went, do you know what? I think it's probably better this way. And she left them in that area to sort of die. And that's when the door starts opening, because the clone hit it. And she goes, I'm a clone. They're a clone. They should all live like I'm living. It's like, no, love. You're not a fucking dinosaur who's going to go round and fucking eat anything that's in its path. Whether that be the herbivores killing all the crops, or is it going to be the carnivores?
Yeah.
Killing the people. Well done, love. You've just committed mass homicide. Congratulations. Anyway, yeah, that pissed me off. But they did. It did end it with a nice shot of something that had nothing to do with these guys letting out. But do you remember in the first film you had the massive underwater crocodile thing?
Yes, the Predator X creature thing.
Predator X creature thing.
I can't remember what it's called. Its nickname was Predator X for ages.
Was it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Didelphodon. Or Dinosuchus. Dinosuchus, isn't it?
I don't know.
Check us remembering stuff. If Dave listens to this podcast, he could probably let us know. But it is a massive crocodile thing. And right at the very start, which is basically kicking off that, which is what I thought was going to be the catalyst, was they're looking for the what do they call it? The man-made creature that they made in the first film. They're looking for its bones because it got dragged into the water, and they found out it got dragged into the water. And so they're looking for his bones. They find it. They've gone in through the massive sea gates, and they've took a sample. They floated it up, and then they get attacked. The matey boy at the start, another one of those really frustrating things where everyone's shouting at the person going, "There's a fucking T-Rex behind you! Run!" And he's just waving them back and going, "I can't hear you! I can't hear you!" It's like, they're fucking pointing behind you. Anyone in their right mind, as soon as somebody's pointing behind them, would look behind them. But he's not. He's looking at them, pointing, and he's pointing at his earphones, going, "I can't hear anything."
Oh, dear.
That's not what they're fucking... God. Fucking talk about doing shit that people wouldn't do just to move a plot on. I thought it was that was going to be the catalyst, because of him dying, the gate for the underwater crocodile massive thing could get out because the gate wasn't shut, so he could get out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was going to be some sort of catalyst, and people go back there to try and close the gate because they said it wasn't closed, you know, that sort of thing. But it wasn't. Yeah. They made up some fucking bullshit about a volcano. But near the end, they did show this massive crocodile creature thing in the sea, near swimmers, as there was a massive wave, you got people on surfboards surfing, and you see the silhouette of the big creature in the wave, you know, and his nose pokes out a little bit, and strangely, suddenly the film The Meg started, and you know,
yeah,
fucking. Blowing it into one, you know? The Meg is taking it from that, I reckon.
What, the Megalodon film?
The Megalodon.
It's not.
From the dinosaur.
It's, what do you call it? It's Jason Statham versus a Leviathan. That's what it is. It's Jason Statham, a porking great sea Leviathan, fights it in a fist fight and wins.
Fish fight. Yeah.
Fist fight.
He just. In a fish fight, yeah, he just gets a fucking trout and slaps it around the chops a few times. Yeah, anyway, yeah, I thought there was a few nice touches, I like it when they nod to the previous film, whether or not the previous film was wholly to be agreed with or not. I did like that. I like the fact they went back to the park and you got to see it in its more dilapidated state. I did like that, although I was hoping they would spend more time there than they did. Because it wasn't much time, probably about 20 minutes of a film,
yeah.
Of them being there. Not much at all, considering it's a 2-hour film. I would have liked to see more there. I really would have.
Yeah.
Okay, at a risk of going on too much about this film, because I think I have.
Too late.
Yeah, I think I have. I think I would rate it probably a 7.
7
out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay.
Dinosaurs in it, which is always good. It has got jump scares in it. It's not too much for the kids. A few bits might be when they're chasing them through the house and whatnot, and little girls getting hunted down and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's not a bad film if you can look past its flaws, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're finished with Jurassic Park. I want to talk about The Expanse. And
yeah.
I that last one was really, really good. It was a two-parter. They pushed down into one.
How many episodes are there so far in this? So it's the last.
It's 13. It was supposed to be 13, but it was 12 because it was two merged into one. So you got halfway through season three and they finished off the second book, which was called Caliban's War, and then they moved into the third book, which they only took half a series to go through, which kind of makes sense given the situation that they were in. So I imagine they went, fuck it, we try and put it at a place that we can say we've finished. And it, see, because what it is the protomolecule, yeah?
Yes.
You saw the protomolecule, it hit Venus and it was doing something at Venus, yeah?
When they drove it into Venus.
And then at the end of the series, when
they went down to the Earth, down to the surface, because the probes weren't working.
But it took them apart.
It took them apart.
And just tried to study them for what it was doing for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
That thing wasn't a weapon. Yeah. It was like building a road. For all intents and purposes, yeah. It was building this thing called a ring gate. Yeah, and the ring gate leads to this other realm where you can access other ring gates, which they didn't find out until the end. But they open up the ring gate and they go through it, and what they find is that the ring gate's got a defensive mechanism. It changes the properties of speed, so it can slow everything down. So in the book, it gets nicknamed the slow zone. Because at the first, you can only go in there and do 2,800 kilometers per minute. Yeah, which sounds fast, but in space terms, it's fucking slow. So it's like, okay, you can do that. And then it slows it down then to 28 meters a second. But certain things happen along the way, like Holden starts seeing Miller. But it's not Miller, it's the gate talking to him. And the first couple of times he sees Miller, he's a bit unaware that he's seeing Miller. And it's talking and having a conversation and everything, but it's acting like he's not there. And then one of them starts talking to him. And he's like telling him a story about how they were trying to bust an underground brothel on Ceres and whatnot. Yeah, and he's like, kind of, are you hearing me? He goes, yeah, I'm hearing you. And he tells a story and he turns around and says, it reaches out. It goes, it reaches out 140 times a second, but no reply. So it builds the investigator. And when the investigator doesn't work, it erases the investigator and starts again. Yeah? Because I've been deleted 140 something times. Yeah? So it's every time he'd been seeing him appear, it was a gate trying to communicate with him and then realizing it wasn't working, deleting the program, starting again, doing it again. So the Miller he was talking to was unawares. But they'd had conversations, but he knew they had conversations because the previous versions were deleted. So he talks to him and he says, look, it's like, I investigate things and you've got a ship and I need to go places. And what we need to do is we need to go into this, you know, go through the ring gate, get to this station and access the records to find out what happened. Yeah, because the gate's reporting in, it's said that I've completed building. I need to know what's happened. So Holden goes down to this ring station, which is this kind of like sphere thing, which is made up of like plates and weird bits. And he has to put his hand in like a little sensor thing. Anyway, he gets attacked by some Martian Marines because Clarissa Mao, who is Julie Mao's sister, and what's Pierre Mao's daughter, is out for revenge on Holden. So she blows up a ship and blames Holden for it and bollocks up their comm device. So they can't say, it wasn't us, yeah? So she does that via a guy on the ship who's supposed to be part of this reporter person who's supposed to be like manning the cameras and whatnot. So they have to rush into the gate and stuff into it. Anyway, really long, convoluted story later. Gets to the end of the show, and there's a bit in the book where there's a character, this engineer character who's got a broken spine, dies in a lift shaft via some cheeky bastards who have stolen Martian Marine power armor. No, but Bobby had in the thing. She had the power armor, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Martian power armor.
Yeah. The Martians have stowed away on this ship called the Behemoth. And the cheeky belters have nicked their power armor and chased down Holden, Naomi, and Drummer to try and stop them. because they're up to something. They don't know what they're up to, but they know it's not good. So these guys are chased them down. Now, in the book, there's another character they missed out, an engineering character. I can't remember what his name is. And he's in the shaft, this shaft that leads from one end of this... the Naboo. They tried to smash into the Eros. It was a giant Mormon ship.
Oh, yes.
Generation.
Worship. Yeah. Worship ship.
Yeah. Like a religious ship, yeah? Anyway, they how can I put it? After the Eros incident, they reclaim it and they strap a load of guns to it and they call it the Behemoth. So it's just this giant warship with guns strapped to it. And they're on that. And there's a bit in it where they've got these tubes that lead from the engineering section around the drum back to the main engineering bit. And in the book, the engineering character dies fighting off these marines by blowing them up, yeah? And they set Drummer off in the same role. So you've got these marines, they're working their way up the shaft. And she goes to blow herself up. And as she goes to blow herself up, the fucking lift comes down the shaft and crushes them. So it does a complete fake out, because in the book you know that the character who fends them off in the lift shaft gets killed. And you're like, shit, given the fact that they weren't planning on renewing the series, does Drummer die now? Because Drummer's kind of appears later on with Avasarala. I really want to tell you about it, and I'm trying not to spoil it. I'm trying to keep it just to little things that you know. I'm going to have a big, long chat with Keith about this, but and lend you the episodes.
Yes.
But you get to the end, and you find out that the civilization that built the proto-molecule and all these gates has died. Yeah.
Okay.
So they've built all these gates that lead to like 1,300 habitable worlds, because proto-molecule only works on habitable worlds. Yeah. That's hence taking apart life forms and putting them back together and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the twist is that the investigators, which is Miller, Holden asks him, he goes, I saw all these worlds, but something wiped them all out. And he turns around and goes, yeah, and that's what I want to know. So it's like, kind of, you find out that the thing wasn't a weapon, it was a gate. Now all the people on Earth and Mars and stuff can now fuck off to other star systems where they have a nice habitable world to live on, and they can mine and build farms and all this shit. But when they pass through the ring gate at the end, yeah, it's got like a field that passes its way through the ship. So you see like this, there's a ripple in space as it passes through. And Holden's looking forward. And as he's looking forward, it pauses ever so slightly. And he sees something in the gap, which may be the thing that wiped them out. It is the thing that wiped them out. I know, I've read the fucking book. But they haven't fucking explained it more than a hand and some dark figure. So it's really good. I need to talk to Keith about it, and I don't want to ruin it. And I know this is like a complete cop-out, because it's like, and there's other stuff. And yeah, it's good. You have to watch it.
Yeah, well, I did really enjoy the first and second series. I was like, watching them after each other.
The third
seeing if I've got enough time left in the evening, go, yeah, I'll probably squeeze another one in.
This third season is the fucking best. I'm not joking. It's ridiculously good. You don't know how good it is until you've watched it, because you watch it back. It the story that you're watching at the moment, now it's kind of escalated up to a point. Yeah, you've got, Avasarala, Bobby and Kotia on Meow's ship. Meow ship. You get the resolution of that, which is fucking explosive. Yeah, I love. Then you've got the dude who's lost his daughter, Praxidikine. Yeah, and that gets resolved. And Bobby's kind of hunt for the fucking white whale, that gets resolved, which is it's nuts. You have to come over, and I have to give you a copy of the bloody thing. Because it is fucking brilliant. Okay, let's move on to like some little stories, and then we'll wrap this bastard up. John Kasdan, the guy who wrote the only Star Wars film to bomb. apparently is writing the Indiana Jones new story. I'm a little worried because they turned around and said the one they were going to turn Indiana Jones into a woman. Great. Two, they haven't realised that Harrison Ford is really fucking old. Yeah. And three, John Kasdan has one fucking writing credit to his name, and that's Star Wars. Maybe John Kasdan should write some episodes of TV or a book or something and not fucking work off his dad's name. All right? Because the guy was a prick on the internet to everyone. Instead of just ignoring all this stuff, like the sensible people do, he decided to engage. He's the one that turned around and said that Lando was pansexual, not reasoning that pansexual covers paedophilia and fucking bestiality. Yeah, so the guy's an idiot. So, yeah.
Total idiot.
Yeah, I'm worried because I'm worried that the Indiana Jones will turn into a woman all of a sudden. And it'll just ruin the whole thing because they don't understand it. And poor George Lucas, yeah, George Lucas is sitting at home going, how much did I get paid for this? Because it wasn't fucking worth it.
They've just ruined everything.
They have.
I enjoyed Rogue One. I did enjoy Rogue One. And despite what you think, I like the first iteration of the Star Wars films with the kids. It was enjoyable. I know you didn't like it because it was a rehash of the first story.
I just wanted to see something new. That's probably why I like Rogue One a little bit more, because I did get to see something a little bit new but a little bit old at the same time. And it did the thing of respecting the source material, which I appreciate when people do that. So that's probably why I appreciated Rogue One more. Solo, absolute fucking washout. I don't think it's a bad film. But I don't think that it was a good film either. I think it was mediocre. And you add mediocre to the pissed off levels of stuff that came with the back of The Last Jedi, and you don't win. Google keep going on. People keep harping on about this fucking Google console. Which I haven't heard any news from. It's like Google's working on a console. Google's working on a console. Yeah, Google's working on a console. It's gonna be a streaming thing. There's no two ways about it. They're gonna stream it. And they're gonna set it up so they probably can stream it to mobile devices too. So you'd have your Android, you'd be able to stream it to that.
Okay.
But I imagine they'll probably start off with a box of sorts, and they'd probably do it in their areas where they've got, I think it's called Google Blue or Google Optic or something, where they've got super, super fast fucking broadband. We're talking about 300 gigabits. So, yeah, it's really quick.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But I still don't think streaming consoles are the way forward.
I think it's the latency is the problem, isn't it? Because it's bad enough when you get fighting games and the latency, the people use wired controllers to avoid latency.
Yeah.
Instead of wireless ones.
Yeah, Bluetooth ones. Yeah.
Because apparently the PS3 was bad for it for fighting games, but they sorted it out on the PS4. And I think the Xbox is slightly behind on the wireless tech for it. But people get around that by plugging controllers in, which makes sense, especially if you want to make sure that you're going to win and you need those extra couple of milliseconds. So next time you lose at Call of Duty, just blame the latency on your controller. That's another thing. I played Call of Duty... the World War II game that they put out recently. I played that last night, and I played the multiplayer on it, and it's shit. I mean, it's categorically shit. It looks like a cartoon. I don't get how it could look worse than the fucking PS3 version of it. I played it, and I was looking at it, thinking, this looks like a fucking cartoon. This looks closer to Fallout than it does to Call of Duty. I'm not joking. I thought I'd be playing, like, if you played... What was it? World at War? The Treyarch one where they had Gary Oldman? Then he kind of tripped over into Black Ops, which is quite cool. But that looked better. That looked fucking miles better. Because it just... It was like the proportions weren't realistic, and they've got... I don't want to sound rude or anything, yeah. World War II, the European part of it, the European theatre, pretty fucking homogenous there, guys. Pretty much Europeans. There were only a few people that weren't. And they were probably fighting on behalf of the British Empire in the shape of things like Gurkhas, etc. But I don't think they
Gurkhas.
Were. I don't think they were in the European theatre. I think they're fucking Pacific theatre. So, yeah, it just looked fucking. It just looked. It wasn't that. It kind of. That's the bit that reminded me of Fortnite. That's the bit that got me. I think that's the bit I looked at. I went, this looks like Fortnite. It's like my mate's character, it was a random black character with a fucking bandito mask from fucking Mexico. He might as well have had a sombrero on. It looked really odd and out of place. I don't get it. It's like, if you're going to do World War II, do World War II properly. And if you're going to do Call of Duty, don't make the things... The sprites look weirdly small. They look like fucking car... I don't know what it is. They look like fucking cartoon characters. It's dreadful, dire shite. And on that note, I think it's time we say goodbye.
Yeah, on that angry note.
On that angry note. Sorry, guys. It's been a bit of a dry one for us, but we've been watching the World Cup, and I don't think you want to hear how fucked off I was at England for passing back to the fucking keeper after going towards the bloody... Swedish attack. It would be like kind of, oh, we've got up to the Swedish box, yeah? Let's cross it in and fucking get a goal. You passed it back, all the way back to the keeper. And the keeper's angry at you for doing this. You know that, don't you? I can see him shouting at you saying, what the fuck are you doing? The ball
surely
goes up.
You should be shooting at a goal, not passing back to me.
Yeah.
In the opposite side. Anyway, yeah.
This
is not a podcast for us to talk about football, although it is something that is... wonderful to talk about, but not on this podcast because this is not a football podcast.
Yes.
Sorry. We've got American listeners. Soccer. Not American football. Sorry. Yeah, there's a World Cup on. So there's not been much being watched, to be fair. Every single day has been football. It's only since we got to the quarters has been a day or two of rest from a match being on. So normal service shall resume once the World Cup is over, but it depends if there's anything to watch, really.
Hang on a second. I'm gonna make this, yeah? If England win the World Cup, we will do a World Cup podcast. All right? If they don't win the World Cup,
you have nothing to fear.
Yeah, you have nothing to fear. But it's... What do you call it? It's nice that they got to the semis. They haven't got to the semis since Italia 90, which is the first World Cup that I watched. I'm just worried this is my last World Cup I'm going to watch. Oh, that's terrible. Very negative. Anyway, it's goodbye from me.
That's goodbye from me.
And we will catch you in our next podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.